Shukavacha
Evam Gajendra Nivarni Vishesham
Ramada Yogi Vidalinga Vidadimana
Ramada Yogi Vidalinga Vidadimana
Aideya do pasasi pur nikilat makatva.
Padra kilat manaramono hariyavisadzit.
Shri Shukavacha.
Shri Shukadeva Goswami said,
Evam,
in this way,
Gajendram,
unto the king of the elephants, Gajendra.
Upavarnita,
whose description?
Nirvivesham,
not directed to any particular person,
but to the Supreme, although he did not know who the Supreme is.
Brahma Adaya.
The demigods, beginning with Brahma, Shiva, Indra, and Chandra.
Vivida,
varieties.
Linga, Bida,
with separate forms.
Abhimana,
considering themselves separate authorities.
Na,
not.
Ete,
all of them.
Yada,
when.
Upa
sas ripu,
approached.
Nikila atmakatvat,
because the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the supreme soul of everyone.
Tatra,
there.
Akila,
of the universe.
Amara,
Maya,
consisting of the demigods,
were only external parts of the body.
Hari,
the Supreme Personality of Godhead,
who can take away everything.
Avirasit,
appeared before the elephant.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada.
Sri Shukadeva Goswami continued,
when the king of the elephants was describing the supreme authority, without mentioning any particular person, he did not invoke the demigods headed by Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, Indra, and Chandra, as none of them approached him. However, because Lord Hari is the Supersoul, Purushottama, the Personality of Godhead, he appeared before Gajendra.
Purport.
From the description of Gajendra, he apparently was aiming at the Supreme Authority, although he did not know who the Supreme Authority is. He conjectured, there is a Supreme Authority who is above everything. Under the circumstances, the Lord's various expansions, such as Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, Chandra, and Indra, all thought, Gajendra is not asking for our help. He is asking for the help of the Supreme, who is above all of us. As Gajendra has described, the Supreme Lord has various parts and parcels, including the demigods, human beings, and animals, all covered by separate forms. Although the demigods are in charge of maintaining different aspects of the universe, Gajendra thought they were unable to rescue him. Harim vina naiva mritim taranti. No one can rescue anyone from the dangers of birth, death, old age, and disease. It is only the Supreme Personality of Godhead who can rescue one from the dangers of material existence. Therefore, an intelligent person, to get free from this dangerous existence, approaches the Supreme Personality of Godhead, not any demigod, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 7:20. Kamastaista ridhigyana rabhadyante na devataha. Those who are unintelligent approach the various demigods for temporary material benefit. Actually, however, these demigods cannot rescue the living entity from the dangers of material existence. Like other living entities, the demigods are merely external parts of the Supreme Personality of Godhead's transcendental body. As stated in the Vedic mantras, Sa'atma Anganyanya Devata. Within the body is the Atma, the soul, whereas the various parts of the body, like the hands and legs, are external. Similarly, the Atma of the entire cosmic manifestation is Narayana, Lord Vishnu, and all the demigods, human beings, and other living entities are parts of his body. May also be concluded that since a tree lives on the strength of its root, and when the root is nourished with water, all the parts of the tree are nourished. And one should worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the original root of everything. Although the Supreme Personality of Godhead is very difficult to approach, he is very near to us because he lives within our hearts. As soon as the Lord understands that one is seeking his favor by fully surrendering, naturally he immediately takes action. Therefore, although the demigods did not come to the aid of Gajendra, the Supreme Personality of Godhead immediately appeared before him because of his fervent prayer. This does not mean that the demigods were angry with Gajendra, for actually when Lord Vishnu is worshipped, all the other demigods are also worshipped. Yasmin tu ste jagarat tushtam. If the Supreme Personality of God is satisfied, everyone is satisfied. Itatara mula nishe chanena tripyanti tatskanda pujo pushaka pranohara parach pranopaharach chayatendriyanam tataiva sarvahanam atiteja. As pouring water on the root of a tree energizes the trunk, branches and twigs, and everything else, as supplying food to the stomach, enlivens the senses and limbs of the body, so simply worshiping the Supreme Personality of Godhead through devotional service automatically satisfies the demigods or parts of the Supreme Personality. Bhagavatam 4:31-14. When the Supreme Personality of God is worshipped, all the demigods are satisfied. Sri Shukadeva Avacha Evam Gajendra Upavarnita Nirvishesham Brahmadayo Vividalinga Vidabhimanaha Naited Yato Pasasaripa Pur Nikilat Makatvat Tatra kilamaramayo hari avi rasi. Sri Shukadeva Goswami continued, when the king of the elephants was describing the supreme authority without mentioning any particular person, he did not invoke the demigods headed by Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, Indra, and Chandra, as none of them approached him. However, because Lord Hari is the super soul, Purushottama, this Personality of Godhead, he appeared before Gajendra. Namo Vishnu Vidaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutai Srimate Bhakti Vidanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Saraswatum Deve Gauravani Vicharane Nirvishesha Shunivadi Paskyatyade Siddharane. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna has said, Chatur Vida Bhajante Mam Janasakritina Arjuna Artha Jignasya Artharati Jnani Cha Bharatarshava. There are four kinds of pious persons they approach Krishna. beginning with those who are arta artis, those who are in distress. Then we have the persons who are artis. They want material gain. I guess, who is it? Did I get that mixed? Did I get that reversed? Is arta those who are in distress? Artas, those who are in distress. And arta, arti, so those who are desiring material wealth. And then there's the jignasus, those who are inquisitive. And finally we get to the jnanis, those who have knowledge. So all four persons are in the material concept of life. And the jnanis are those who are practically out of the bodily conception of life. And it's a progression. Generally, people approach God, whoever God may be, according to here, because they're in distress. So the material nature is meant to put us in distress. Most people don't think the material energy here is meant to put us into distress. They think it's a playground to enjoy. But if you go to a playground and you slide down the slide, and on the slide there are nails sticking up, you may have a good time for a few seconds, but when you're sliding down the nails, it's rather uncomfortable. Or sometimes it's compared to a camel. The camel, he has a big neck. Or a giraffe, I guess. Actually, but I guess a camel. Camel doesn't have, does a camel, yeah, I guess a camel has a, anyhow, whatever. The example is a camel. So the camel likes to eat twigs. But what happens is that the twigs, they cut its tongue, and the blood comes out, and he drinks the blood. And he thinks, this is really a sweet drink. So yes, he's enjoying his own blood. He thinks it's quite tasty. But ultimately, it's not very healthy. So the material world is meant to give us an opportunity for enjoying, and at the same time, it gives us a great opportunity to suffer. Janma mrityu jara vyadhi dukkha doshanu darshana. That's one of the aspects of knowledge. I guess there's 18 aspects of knowledge, and that's janma mrityu jara vyadhi dukkha doshanu darshana. Birth, death, old age and disease. Dukkha means unhappiness. Dosha, the fault of dosha, janma mrityu jara vyadhi dukkha dosha darshana. The fault, one should see the fault of accepting birth, death, old age and disease. Most people don't think twice. They just think, well, this is the way it is. There's nothing you can do about it. And if they see someone trying to do something about it, they become very disturbed. Why are you trying to get out of birth, death, old age, and disease? Make it appear that we're doing the wrong thing. In other words, that's one of the reasons why people can't understand the Hare Krishna movement. They've given up the endeavor, for the most part, to try to enjoy the material world. They live comparatively more simple than everyone else. They don't go to the movies. We don't see them playing tennis at the tennis court. What do? They just, like crazy people, they go downtown, they jump up and down, and they sing as if there's something to sing about. And some people may observe that they actually appear happy. So they conclude either they're taking drugs or they're crazy. They couldn't possibly be happy. Very rarely people will actually conclude that these are people who are actually happy, just dancing and chanting. Or as Kolavekar Sridhar, he was a seller according to the Chaitanya Charitamrita, of bananas and banana products in Bengal. If you go to Bengal, everywhere there are banana trees. Even now there are banana trees everywhere. And most people are not going to set up a business selling bananas, because if you walk down the street, a banana may hit you in the head anyhow. Why would you go and buy one? But he set up a business selling bananas, banana leaves, banana flowers, etc. So he wasn't doing a big business. He was hardly making any money. Still, he was a great devotee of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he was living in a thatched cottage, but he didn't have enough money to repair it. So there were holes throughout the roof of his cottage. And when it rained, he'd get wet. But all night long, he used to chant Hare Krishna. So the neighbors, they concluded that this rascal, because he doesn't worship Durga, because he's only worshiping Vishnu, therefore because he doesn't worship Durga, he's not getting any money. So all night long, he's howling out of hunger pains. So to stop this person from disturbing our sleep, we should pick up his thatched hut, take it to the Ganges and throw him in the hut in. Then we can go to sleep. Stop his howling out of hunger. They could not realize that he was in ecstasy, because for them, such an ecstasy couldn't exist. He couldn't live so poorly and be happy. Similarly, when Srivas Thakur went to Devananda Pandit's Bhagavatam recitations, and Devananda Pandit was describing Krishna, then Srivas Thakur started to roll on the ground in ecstasy, but his students thought it was a disturbance. They picked up Srivas Thakur and threw him outside, because they could not conceive that anyone could actually be happy by hearing the Bhagavatam. So people can't conceive that there is any solution to birth, death, old age, and disease, because, as it says, Matirana Krishne Parataksatova Vitopi Padyeta Griha Ratanam. The only place they won't put their focus on, their attention on, is Krishna. Matira means consciousness. Nikrishne. People, the last place they're actually gonna, the last thing they're going to think about is Krishna. Even at the time of death, one devotee was telling her mother at the time of death, she was saying, chant, chant, chant. And her mother was going, can't, can't, can't. Another devotee was telling her mother, my dear mother, please chant Hare Krishna, you're about to leave your body. And her mother said, her last words were, I cannot say so many words. And then she left. So, the last thing people want to do is to take shelter of Krishna, because we've come to the material world exactly so we can be independent of Krishna. Still, material nature is there to put us into fear, but that takes an intelligent person to understand why we're suffering, why fear is there. And generally, even in the human form of life, if people are not properly educated, it's practically impossible for them to take shelter of Krishna, especially in modern society where there's so much so-called technology that will save us. They're supposedly making advancement in technology so that we don't need doctors anymore, because doctors are imperfect. Everything will be done by a computer, as if the computer is perfect, programmed by imperfect people. But somehow or another, people have faith that some science will save them. Although the scientists, they're all dying themselves. They're all getting sick and old. So how will the scientists save us? And who knows where the scientists are going at the time of this of their leaving the body. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj says that... I just forgot that one. That... Balam... Balasya Balam... Balasya Neha Pitro... Sharanam Pitro Nishingha. Balasya Neha Sharanam Pitro Nishingha. Nartasya Chagadam Udanvaton Majitao Nau. Taptasya Tat Trividir Ihanjan Shastas Twividam Tat Upekshitanam. That Prahlad Maharaj says, Balasya Neha Sharanam Pitro Nishingha. Balasya means of the child. So a child is generally helpless. But the parents try to protect the child. At least previously they did when Prahlad Maharaj is speaking. Balasya Neha Sharanam. So generally the only shelter for the child are the parents. And if you get good parents, they'll try to protect you. Nartasya. And for one who's suffering, then a good doctor or medicine is the shelter. Balasya Neha Sharanam Pitro Nishingha Nartasya Chagadam. Agadam means the medicine or the doctor who supplies the medicine. And Udanvato Majito, now is a boat. So a boat can cross the water if it has. If you get a good boat, you can cross the water. And taptasya, for one who's suffering, yahanjashestas, there is. Ultimately, these don't serve to be remedies, because even if the child grows up, it still dies anyhow. There's no parent who can protect the child ultimately from death, or even themselves from death. The father of the universe, Brahma, who's omniscient and has so many powers within the universe, power to create the universe, he can't save himself from death, but to speak of all his children in the universe, of which we're amongst. And even if you have the best doctor, he gives you the best medicine, and you're saved from death. As I mentioned, one devotee, his father was in his late 80s. He had a heart operation. And his devotee said to his father, now it's time to get serious about Krishna consciousness. And his father said, no, the operation was successful. I'm all right now. And udanvito majito no. Even if you have a so-called steady, strong boat, you cross the ocean, still you're going to die anyhow. As I mentioned before, that man who had worked in the boiler of the Titanic, and when the boiler exploded, all the oil came all over his... When the Titanic crashed into the iceberg, the boiler exploded, and all the oil came all over his body, so when he was thrown into the ocean, the oil protected him from the freezing cold water, and he survived. 1 month later, he was in New York celebrating, and there was a slight rainfall, which just some centimeters between, which collected some centimeters in between the sidewalk and the street. But he was intoxicated because of his celebration. He fell unconscious, and his nose was entered into that little bit of centimeters of water, and he drowned. So he was saved from drowning in the ocean, but he couldn't be saved from drowning in New York City. So it is not that even the boat crosses the water now will be safe. Sometimes people are in an elevator and it starts falling and they start screaming and praying and everything, and then the elevator stops and they say, turn to each other and say, hey, what's on television tonight? So, if Krishna wants, he can save the child. The child will grow up. If Krishna wants, then the medicine will be effective. If Krishna wants, then the boat will cross the ocean. And if Krishna doesn't want, then nothing will work. And even if Krishna says it's all right, all these things can work, but still one dies anyhow. Therefore, Gajendra was not looking for simply problem. He had a foot problem. He could have prayed for a good orthopedic surgeon or somebody to come and save him. Maybe amputate his leg, his foot, save him. No, he was realizing the real problem is birth, death, old age, and disease. This is the only solution. And the only person who gives me that solution is Krishna. Everything else will not help very much. And if one seeks Krishna as the solution, then it says that everything else will be obtained. It's not that we'll get everything else, that if I pray to Krishna, then I'll get a house, a wife, and a color TV, Om Jai Jagadisha Hari. It is not that by praying, but we'll get the results of actually karma yoga, jnana yoga, astanga yoga. That is, we'll become liberated and go back to the spiritual world. That's what all the Vedas, that's the ultimate accomplishment in this world. Vedeshu, Jagneshu, Kapasu, Jaiva, Daneshu, Yat Punya, Pradam Pradhivyam, Adyati Tat Sarami Dam Viditva, Yogi Param Stana Upaiti Chadyam. When it says we're not devoid of the results of studying the Vedas, Vedeshu, Jagne, or performing sacrifices, or giving in charity, etc., studying all the scriptures. No, what happens is we get the results, which is to become developed love of God. That's the purpose. So that's what Gajendra was hoping for, was the purpose. Iti guyatama shastram, idam yuktva mayanaga, etam bhutva buddhimutsyat, krita kritasyabharata. This is the most confidential part of all Vedic knowledge. Actually, what is that knowledge? Yo mam eva masamudo, janati purushottama, sasarvavit vajante mam sarabhavena bharata. One who engages himself, yo mam eva masamudo, one who knows me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, without doubting, is said to be the knower of everything. And therefore he engages himself in full devotional service. This is the most confidential part of all the Vedic knowledge. Anyone who knows this will become wise, and his endeavors will know perfection. So although it's very simple, this idea that if we simply serve the Supreme, the person, the controller of everything. Now Gajendra realized there must be a control of everything. So that's our whole idea, if we can become convinced that Krishna is actually there, and he's controlling everything, then who would be a better person to take shelter of than Krishna? And Krishna only wants love. He doesn't want our money, because we don't have any money, it's not our money. He doesn't want anything else except for at least our attention and then giving our love to him. So Gajendra was giving his attention at least. He realized that Krishna is the controller, and he can actually free him from all problems of old age, disease, and death, and birth. And therefore he put his attention on Krishna. And that's what we're supposed to be convinced of. We should put our attention on Krishna. Then our life will become more successful. Ultimately, really successful. And if we don't understand that, No matter what part of the Vedas we study, how much charity we give, how much austerities we perform, ultimately we're not going to actually get liberation, and therefore whatever results we get are all temporary. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions, comments?
Excuse me. Prayers from living entities, human beings that are not within the process of Krishna consciousness, can then also achieve the same result without this perception of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, yes. But sincere prayers.
Who?
For instance, like my mother, she's a very devoted Christian. She prays a lot, yeah?
To so my question, who are they praying to?
Yes. Well, to her, she will be praying to Jesus Christ. So.
Yeah, but, obviously, depending on what her conception is. Now, Gajendra, he was an elephant, but he was in King Indradumya in his last life. And now it's not the elephant that's speaking, it's King Indradumya, who had quite a bit of Vedic understanding. Therefore, he was praying to the person who was controlling the whole universe. Now, according to the conception what has of Lord Jesus Christ, because we also believe in Lord Jesus Christ, we have perhaps a more full conception of who he was, what his mission was, than even those who claim to be Christians or who are Christians. For instance, if a Christian kills animals, then obviously he doesn't understand Jesus Christ very well, because he doesn't follow his instructions, thou shalt not kill. Nor does he understand how God is the father of all living entities, that you can't kill your brother and at the same time take shelter of your father. But if there are undoubtedly Christians who understand that much, or even some understand more, like for instance, there was Saint Francis of Assisi. See, he understood that how all living entities were all part of the same spiritual family. So Prabhupada, he said in one lecture to some Jesuit, I forget who it was, what denomination it was, but how they were all brothers. He's also God conscious. But to understand actually how Krishna is controlling everything and to accept that, that's quite advanced. Then you can actually completely take shelter of Krishna. Without actually realizing that completely, we only partly take shelter of Krishna because we don't see, we see gaps in Krishna's ability to take care of us. We don't see that every second, every moment, forever, we're 100% totally dependent on Krishna. Therefore, we have a tendency to take shelter of other things come into our imagination. Yes?
Hare Krishna. I'm sometimes wondering about Kolavitra Sridhar.
That's a good person to wonder about.
How come that he was disturbing his neighbors? Usually devotees are considerate of the neighbors. They keep the windows closed and...
Well, he didn't have any windows. He didn't have any doors probably either. He had holes in his room. I don't know. I mean, I guess he had very sensitive neighbors. Or maybe he was in so much ecstasy he didn't realize. Sometimes, I'm sure. It wasn't all the time. Otherwise he would have had to learn how to swim. Anything else?
Also, in the purport, Srila Prabhupada writes that as soon as the Lord understands that one is seeking his favor by fully surrendering, naturally he immediately takes action. Seeking his favor. But it seems that the timeline differs between different devotees. Sometimes Krishna immediately takes action and sometimes he takes time. So
it all depends upon sincerity. Since our process is the process of becoming sincere. Depends upon how much we surrender. If we're the process is Sharanagati, the process is surrender. We're going to where we are on that stage of surrender, Krishna reciprocates accordingly. As Prabhupada writes, one could become Krishna conscious in one moment, like King Kurukshetra, Kalanga, King Kadvanga. Or it may take millions of years. It depends upon understanding and accepting, quote, the fact that we're 100% dependent on Krishna. Otherwise, we have our fingers crossed, you know, Krishna's one, you know, we pray to Krishna. If that doesn't work, we check our bank balance. If that doesn't work, do a little exercise. We have backups in case Krishna doesn't come through. Yes?
So the question of Avadhuta Rai thus is, following the Shraddha ceremony from Bhagavatam, in the future, when ISKCON is more developed, devotees will offer Krishna prasad to demigods when doing Shraddha, but isn't that dangerous? As per Narottam Das Thakur, material desires might appear because of such offerings to devas.
The devotees don't offer prasadam to the demigods, they offer it to Krishna. Otherwise, you're not a devotee. Who ever heard of offering prasadam to the demigods?
The sannyasi should distribute part of his food to Vishnu, Brahma, the sun, and other living entities. Vishwanath writes, how that's done?
Well, if they're really hungry, they're going to come and eat. Otherwise, we just offer it to Vishnu. He's talking about sannyasis, they're not necessarily devotees. But we offer our prasadam to our philosophy is Devarshi Putatman Rinam Pritrinam. That if we offer our prasadam to Vishnu, to Krishna, then all the demigods are also satisfied. It says in that verse, Itatura Mula Nishechinena. So we offer our prasadam to Krishna, even the sannyasis. We don't offer it. We offer it to Krishna and his representatives. Because if you see the demigods as Krishna's representatives, like Bharat Maharaj did, then you can do sacrifices to the demigods, knowing that they're servants of Krishna. But we're not encouraged to do that. We're encouraged just to offer to Vishnu, to Krishna. And then for instance, in Lord Shiva's Digpal in Vrindavan, he guides the directions. And after they offer to Vishnu, then they give it to Shiva. They give him some prasadam. So we don't. We offer prasadam to Shiva after it's offered to Vishnu. Otherwise, Lord Shiva won't accept it anyhow. Anything else?
Just one more.
Okay.
Dwelling in a safe and solitary place, his mind purified by constant thought of me, the sage should concentrate on the soul alone, realizing it to be non-different from me. Srimad Bhagavatam 11.18.21. As per Vishwanath Chakravarti, this is about contemplation of oneness of the jiva with Paramatma to attain Sayujya Mukti. Why is Krishna preaching impersonalism to Uddhava?
I guess Uddhava had a bad moment. No, Krishna is giving Uddhava instructions for all. Bhagavatam is meant for all the different classes of people. They can get to, it's nigama kalpatura galitam palam. They can get whatever they want from it. But ultimately, that's not Krishna's message. Krishna's message is to surrender to him. But if one will not, if that's all Krishna had in the Bhagavatam, no one would read it. But because Krishna is giving nigama kalpatura galitam, therefore, because it's a desire tree, people will take shelter of it. And they read the whole thing. Then an intelligent person will reach the conclusion, it's not a good idea to merge into the Supersoul, I just serve the Supersoul. That's the whole Vedic literature. Gives so much
opportunities for all different classes of people to get something from it, but ultimately they continue on reading. Like Dhruva Maharaj, he wanted to get a kingdom greater than that of his great-great-grandfather, Lord Brahma. But because he followed the directions of Narada Muni, ultimately when he got the final result, which is Vishnu, Krishna, therefore he gave up all his other desires. All right. Thank you very much. Grandharaya Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.